Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to the car wash. This is episode number 70. On today's show, we react to that stunning Nedbank Cup semi-final round. We also react to the latest in PSL action. And we take a look at South Africa's Olympics draw for the upcoming Tokyo Olympics. Whether you're listening to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or Mahikeng 96.7 FM's Game Time, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Slu, but of course, I'm not alone. I'm joined by former Ajax Cape Town and Mamelodi Sundowns goalkeeper, Mr. Sean Roberts. How are you doing today, Sean?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Slu. I'm beautiful. Thanks.
And we are also joined by former Mamelodi Sundowns and Orlando Pirates star, Teko Modise. How are you doing, sir?
I'm fantastic, Slu. Thanks, man.
Well, we can dive straight on into the show. It's been a funny week of football, to say the least. So I wonder if Sean's got a joke that eats the memes today.
There we go, guys. I overdosed on Viagra the other day. It was the hardest day of my life.
Almost sounds like you're just telling us a story from your life, Sean. From there, we move into pole position. Pole position is where we present a question to our supporters club or on our Facebook page. We, of course, had to get your reactions to that stunning Nedbank Cup semi-final stage between TTM and Sundowns, where they stunned Sundowns and, you know, made it through on penalties. Here's your guys' reactions to that one.
I did expect something like that, because if you can check the way Sundowns played yesterday, they did play well. They missed lots of opportunities.
We lost the Sundowns. Actually, it didn't be so close. Because the time Sundowns in Lalane, Orlando Pirates on Tuesday, I said, I could win up. This is a foolish room, I have said, because it started the game at this day. The Sundowns and the Pirates, there's two ways too high. So each room has been going to. If you know, team is a winner up, it is a foolish room. I was so surprised. He could imagine that until the extra time, each room is for me to concede goal, and goalkeeper played very, very well, keep them alive for the whole 130. Minutes or 140 minutes, I can say. So badalile, no, it's no 140-130 minutes, yes. So badalile, I don't want to lie. Badalile akule chakuma, and it was surprising. Good, if you understand us, it was surprising. And by playing a trick game, Babayas could see the Sundowns is over, take a song, Mubwana Melo could back in, among our intimidate, how good his Sundowns is to lay the Pirates go forward.
I expected them to lift the trophy after beating Pirates 4-1. I was so surprised.
It was bound to happen because there's no team that can play all games without loss. And if you can say correctly, in the first round of the league, they did play the draw, which it means that this team is giving Sundowns a tough time.
I think in this go Sundowns, man, just a way for takes the back at the match. And don't be surprised about losing the next game or by draw.
Well, gents, it's going to be one of those blockbuster Nedbank Cup finals. Chipper United versus TTM. This is exactly what everybody wanted. Ooh. You know what I'm saying? what a semi-final. You know, I had a weird feeling about it just because it was so close to their quarterfinals, for Sundowns specifically. But, you know, of course, on their day, you'd expect them to beat TTM. But here they are, TTM, in the Nedbank Cup final. One of Chipper United or TTM will be in the CAF Confederations Cup next year as well. On top of the 7 million rand cash prize. So, Sean, what was your reaction to that one?
Jeez, man. Yeah, no. Oh, look, this is the beauty about football, right? And I've said it before, it's like anything can happen. And here's a phenomenal example on how anything can happen. And there's been a lot of talk about, I think that was their fourth, I'll talk about Sundowns, yeah, I think that was their fourth game in 10 days, if I'm not mistaken. And yes, and that has to be brought up Like, you go into the depth of Sundowns' squad, and I believe Sundowns have got two or three squads here that can beat any PSL team on a good day. So, I don't know if we can use that as an excuse for Sundowns, to be honest. Yeah, they looked a bit tired. You know, you thought the first 20 minutes, here we go, it's going to be an absolute demolition of TTM, and that wasn't the case at all. Yes, Sundowns had a few chances, so did TTM, don't get me wrong. The start of the second half, you thought, okay, here we go, Sundowns are back on it, and it sort of fizzled out. They did look a bit tired, they weren't themselves, but you've got to give credit where credit is due, and that is to TTM. And Washington Aruby was fantastic. Those are the games where, if you want to make a name for yourself in the PSL, this is where a goalkeeper should stand up, and all the experience he has come through, and obviously with the penalty save from Kakana as well. So, well done TTM. Yeah, well done TTM. And TTM chip a final, man. I mean, I'll be the edge of my seat, that's for sure.
Your two favorite teams.
Wow.
Seko, one of the fans said something along the lines of, they could have played for five more days and Sundowns just weren't going to be able to score. He said it was one of those games. Did you feel like, you know, they had the opportunities to and just couldn't take them?
Look, Robbie saved, dude. Like, he kept the team in play. And it wasn't just one of those saves, Jay. He was constantly making those saves. And those are saves where if Sundowns should score one, they actually start now dictating the pace and the rhythm of the game. And even though Sean has said, like, they look tired, but they were still dictating the rhythm of the game still.
Yeah.
But the only difference is they couldn't easily penetrate TTM, but when they did, Aruby will come and play.
Yeah.
So I think that's the difference that they had on TTM and Orlando Pirates. Whenever they penetrated Pirates' defense, they score. This time around, Aruby was in play. But also, it was one of those, even at the extra time, before even extra time, like the last kick of the game or something like that, Aruby made a save.
Mm. Last 3 minutes, probably one of his best.
Yeah, he made a save, and then once you do that, it's a different conversation to the coach, from the coach to the players, especially for TTM, because at Sundowns, the longer it goes 0-0, the stress, because it's a team that is expected to be dominating and winning the game. For TTM, the longer it goes 0-0, it's a confidence booster for them. You know, they look how TTM won. They actually worked hard. I don't want to lie. They created goal scoring opportunities? No, they didn't, because they were spending more time chasing the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But a cup competition, they knocked out an undefeated team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Mamelodi Sundowns. It doesn't get better than that. But yet again, like Sean has said about Arobi's performance, it was one of those great performances that you can't even ignore. And 2 days after, he was coming out and saying, guys, I don't want to speak about contract. Let's talk about my contract end of the season. So he is, you know, the most talked about guy right now. But I mean, we're having a final of Chippa United and TTM. These are teams that are fighting for their lives. And yet again, they're fighting to be in the continental football. That's how weird football can be at times. But I mean, congratulations to Chippa and the TTM.
So to take a quick question, if you were a big cheese at Nedbank, what's your feeling right now? Do you think
Sorry?
It's if you were like a big dog in Nedbank, for example, what's your feeling now? Are you, how does that work? Is that good for the sponsors, do you think? Or is it, I suppose it's got two ways. I mean, it's a massive talking point now. The Nedbank Cup final is not what we expected, but we're still saying Nedbank, Nedbank, Nedbank. So,
yeah.
Are you disappointed as a? I'm just saying, if you're a big cheese at Nedbank, would you be disappointed with how things have turned out, or would you be quite so? Okay, cool. This is something different.
Look, it is something different. With fans around, of course, you'll be a little bit disappointed, because which means you need to work extra hard to actually be able to sell this game to the fan.
Yeah.
But now, because the fans are not allowed into the game, is how you make sure that this game is still being watched, how you make sure that this game, people still talk about it, how do you make sure that people actually stay engaged from all this? Because yet, if you combine both teams' fans, they don't even make 500.
Mm.
So GTM doesn't have fans, Shipper doesn't have fans. But yet again, it's how do you stay engaged as a sponsor? How do you get back your money? You know, it becomes difficult because now you need to find ways, and especially now with COVID issues, now every company now wants to find ways in the social media. So therefore, people need to go to Twitter and start engaging with the game, but also, which means NetBank may pay people to get involved and tasking about the game and all that type of stuff. So it becomes a difficult entity altogether. But yet again, what's important now, I think the biggest talking point now that can actually help NetBank is this is one of those unexpected finals, and guaranteed the chances are one of these teams might be relegated, whether they win the NetBank Cup or not.
Yeah,
we could have a situation where a team goes down but is playing in the CAF Confederations Cup next season regardless. But from there, let's move into reacting to some of these PSL games. Of course, they were midweek games. Let's start off with AmaZulu versus Sundowns, which was quite a tight, tough affair to watch. Cagey at times. You didn't really know which way it was going to go. Ended up as a 0-0 draw. But who were you more impressed with on the day, Sean?
Look, I mean, I think Sundowns coach at the end, you know, he was very... he understood what happened in the game in terms of how good AmaZulu actually were, and how he praised Benny after the game and said what a great job he has done. And yes, Sundowns, they didn't look themselves, let's be honest. But like Teko rightly said before, in the TTM game, you've got to give credit where credit is due and not always look at Sundowns. And AmaZulu really did play well. But yes, it was an out of sorts Sundowns team, I think. Looked very tired. But as the coach said, they were playing against a very, very good team. They tried to push them as much as they could. And they just couldn't. They couldn't break down. And I think the biggest thing that I took out of the game, and what the coach said as well, is that to make sure that if you don't win the game, just to make sure that you don't lose it. And that's what Sundowns did. They kept another clean sheet, which is very important. They'll take a point any day. They're still going to walk the league, in my opinion. But credit must go to Benny and his technical team. And I think probably Teko can add in a bit more there, because he's worked with Benny and what's actually probably going on behind the scenes, and how we've seen a complete facelift in terms of Basutu and what's happening. And I spoke to the AmaZulu owners not too long ago, and I think that Benny's got a mandate to finish top four. And there's no reason why he can't.
Yeah, they definitely were very ambitious when they hired him. You know, they were talking at the time, they were talking about a top eight finish, but they said that AmaZulu should be a top four side. And I mean, if you look at what Benny's done, we talk about Sundowns unbeaten streak because they still haven't been beaten in the league, but AmaZulu are also on a tear right now. I think they had 5 wins from 5 before this match. So, did you think, Teko, that maybe this was AmaZulu's game to win, actually, because of how tired Sundowns were, but also how they just managed that match very well?
Look, Slu, it's just that for me, I'm not going to entertain the Mamelodi Sundowns tired saga. Sundowns have been having the same schedule for the last 8-9 years. Same. They've been going the same route, same fixtures, same times. Probably maybe changed now because of now legal and finish a little bit later, but I'm just saying, whenever it comes this time of the season, they always play back-to-back games, and this is a team also that will still manage to win all those trophies that have been winning every season. It's just that now things, the difference between the TTM game and AmaZulu game is, in AmaZulu they had better structure yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, they were better structured, and the players, they've got a better quality than TTM. When they have the ball, they looked to hurt Mamelodi Sundowns. Mulenga there on the side, that he was doing the business. You know, and you had, who's this boy that looks like Shaba? Sitebe. You had Sitebe coming in, like, look, dude, like, honestly, AmaZulu do have quality players, and I don't know what Benny did, but they work so well with each other. Like, AmaZulu had like 5 in the midfield. They knew exactly what to do with them. They don't have the ball. They made sure that Kutsi doesn't start the play. And I said this when after the game, after TTM's game, I said, if what TTM has done, people will copy it and make it better. So therefore, Sundowns has to come up with a better plan. Because Sundowns, everybody knows that whenever they start from the, that's their DNA, that's how they play. They're going to give it to Coutinho to continue to start the music. What they're doing is the close on Coutinho. So therefore, so now it forces other players, so Mukulisi, your Timbers, to run extra to collect the ball. And therefore, it allows the opponent to step into Mamelodi Sundowns' half, and Mamelodi Sundowns doesn't want that. So now it's one of those things for Benny, what he's done at AmaZulu, and for the players to respond in that manner. They're doing a great job.
Sure.
And yet I've always said to Benny that the Benny plays, it's one of those coaches that depends on the hard work. If you work hard, you'll give an opportunity to play. And hence you see that that most players that are not given opportunity, that regular starters, that regular players at AmaZulu. And the team is going well. Look, last season AmaZulu was depending on Nduli. This doesn't already even speak about it, dude. But look at where they are. So it shows a different mentality within the team. And I've, so with the emphasis of Benny being the new coach or the young coach into the PSL, and how AmaZulu has, you know, trusted Benny to do the business, I just wish that this can be a trend that continues. Because the reason why I'm saying this is Benny's still young, and look at the stuff that he's done. Look at the things that he brings into the game that are young, that are fresh. We need many a Benny.
From Benny's current team, AmaZulu, we moved to his old team, Cape Town City, who beat Kaizer Chiefs 2-1 in their tie, in a fixture where I just think Kaizer Chiefs' defensive issues were just made clear. You know, they're fighting for a top 8 spot. They're currently 2 points outside of that with the game in hand, but they're struggling to win these games that, you know, it was a home game for them. They weren't coming down to Cape Town. What did you make of this result, and how much pressure does this put on them in these last few matches?
Yeah, look, I mean, Cape Town City were very good. I was very, very impressed with them. But, you know, if you look at the Kaizer Chiefs starting lineup, and you see Manyama, you see Mirkovic, you see Billiard starting up front, man, you think, wow, like we're going to be in tonight. And that didn't happen. And that's a problem. That's a big problem. But Thabo Ndada, unbelievable. He's such a phenomenal player. Don't be surprised if there's a big move for him happening soon. But yeah, so impressive. Tashik Morris could have scored a brace, but the goal he did score was absolutely brilliant. Again, concerning conceding from a cross. I think they've conceded quite a few from set pieces and crosses. So that's something they want to try and cut out. But again, Rulani with a, wouldn't say fortuitous goal, but certainly if you're going to be taking shots from distance, you can always bank on a deflection of some sort. But I would say a definite, well-deserved 3 points. There's two wins on the trot, I think, or is it three wins on the trot for Kaizer City? I'm not too sure, but they're getting better and better every game. And I wasn't a fan of Jan Older Rikkerink in the beginning. I'm not sure a lot of people were, but he's proven me wrong. He's got a special group of players, and they can achieve some good things, this team. They really can. It'll be interesting to see what sort of signings John makes in the transfer window. But very good results for Chiefs. Very concerning. I'm not too sure what's going to be happening in the future. I mean, yes, we talk about the Champions League and it's amazing, but I think the Kaizer Chiefs faithful are very concerned about what's happening in the league. Especially at home, you've got to be winning your games at home. And that used to be a fortress, that stadium, for them, and it's just not. So, yeah, concerning for Chiefs, and yeah, I mean, it's not good enough.
Your thoughts, Deco?
Finally, Cape Town City are able to beat Kaizer Chiefs, because Cape Town City struggle, no matter how on form they are. Whenever they face Kaizer Chiefs, they tend to struggle, and the Kaizer Chiefs, if you remember, even in the beginning of the season, they had they didn't start well, but whenever they faced Cape Town City, they started winning from there. To look at the game yesterday, I think what helps Cape Town City is the momentum and the continuity that they have within the players themselves. You look at Rikkerink this season, he hasn't changed much into the lineup. It's still the same.
Yeah.
So he wants to continue with that. So the players get to understand each other better, even if probably maybe the results are not getting there. But because of the philosophy and the structure the team allows them to pass the ball and play combination football. So whenever they get it right on the day, they become very difficult to defend. And yesterday, they could pass out, especially in the midfield, when that they could bypass that pressing line in the midfield. I was expecting Cape Town City to be able to score probably maybe one of the transition or counter-attacks football, but also I was expecting Chiefs to be strong, especially on set pieces, because knowing that how bad Cape Town City defend those set pieces. So, and like Shona said, you're looking at the front three, you're getting excited. You're like, okay, I know that on any day, whenever they want to play, the in-sync, becomes a problem. But it was one of those games. I think the story continues for Kaizer Chiefs. I don't think there's a problem. I don't think we can isolate Chiefs' problem and say defensively there's a problem. I think there's a problem with Kaizer Chiefs as a whole.
Mm.
You know, the posture, the structure, the body language is not there. It's not the same.
Yeah.
You can't, if you look at Kaizer Chiefs walking into the pitch and look at AmaZulu walking into the pitch, those are two different teams.
But it's weird, Teko. You think after this great triumph in the Champions League, they would feel untouchable now, unbeatable. You would think something would have happened, but it hasn't.
Yeah, but also, Sean, you know the most difficult thing is to win and be convinced that you actually won.
True.
That's a good.
So I think they're in that position. They're in that stage where they are still in the Champions League, but they're still not convinced that they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. So now, how do you that translate easily into the games and locally? Because Champions League, they're given an opportunity for us not to see them, for us to analyze them, so they come back with the results. They know how they play. Sean, have you ever been in a position where the team wins something and you just go in there to receive the medal without participating in the tournament?
Yeah.
You're even scared to be in front to take the picture.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's one of those things where you won, but you actually don't feel like you won the game because you didn't contribute much. I don't think Kaizer Chiefs are happy because, especially the players. Mm. I think this means more to the fans than the players themselves. They don't understand how important it is for them to play in the Champions League.
This is true.
Sure.
From there, it's time to move on to the international news desk. And for that, we are joined by Sokola Duma's international news correspondent, Mr. Kurt Buckerfield. How are you doing today, Kurt?
Good, Sue. How are you? Hey, guys. Long time, boys.
Kurt's in a new place, by the way, so congratulate Kurt, new home. What up?
Thank you, lad.
Kurtie.
Someone who's going to be having to look for a new home is Mr. Jose Mourinho.
Seamless. Absolutely seamless.
Hey, listen, I do this, you know. So he's been sacked at Tottenham Hotspurs. I don't think many people are shocked. Maybe the surprise comes, the fact that they've announced it now and not at the end of the season. But we've spoken at length about him. It's been a tipsy-topsy season. Started off strong. We were talking about, Jose causing a resurgence here, and then, so a classic old Tottenham, no trophies unless they do the League Cup win. When is the League Cup final, Kurt?
It's this weekend.
It's this weekend. They could win the illustrious League Cup. But what do you make of the news, Kurt? Did it come as a surprise to you that it was announced now? And did you think that the writing was on the wall?
Yeah, I do think the writing was on the wall. I was surprised, Slu, but I did read last week that Spurs pretty much decided they would not continue with Mourinho next season last week Friday. I think it was after that Everton draw. So I think it was a matter of, well, if we've made up our minds now, why not just make the call now? We've got the cup final in a week's time, and Solboy doesn't come around often for Spurs. So Daniel Levy would be looking to get that bounce the team normally has when a toxic situation comes to an end, and that's exactly what it became under Jose Mourinho. So I feel like it's probably a good call. It was very surprising to everybody, especially amid the chaos of the Super League talk. Nobody saw it coming when it did, but I feel like it actually does make sense. I feel like Spurs probably will be in a better position to maybe win that final. I don't know if they will. I think City are obviously far superior, but it does give them a bit of a chance. If I were Pep Guardiola, I wouldn't want a team that has the shackles released from its feet in a final. I can't wait to see what happens in that game just because of what's happened now, obviously.
So by the way, there's obviously like weird rumors linking this to the Super League situation.
Yeah.
Was it just Tottenham's decision? We're done with Jose, or did he have any stance, any Super League stance, so to speak?
No, I theorized that Mourinho would make it about that. He hasn't. He hasn't said much. I thought that he'd come out and say, well, I was against the Super League, so, you know, I'm still me and true to myself, and then everybody would be Jose Mourinho fans again. That's, he just knows how to pull people in. He's done that throughout his career. He's very tactical. But I read that it's because of the poor string of results. It's because of the infighting. I think the situation became serious when Harry Kane and Hugo Lloris spoke out. That's when Daniel Levy realized that this was quite a severe situation. Something needed to change, and of course, as is, you know, normally the case, you can't change the full squad of 25 players, and it's the manager that's got to go.
So I want to stick to this, just because we're going to do a bunch of Super League stuff. But what does this mean for Mourinho moving forward? Are there any big clubs who would want a guy like Mourinho, or do you think that it's going to be a while before we see him in the hot seat again?
I don't know. I mean, the only move that would make sense for me is maybe Juventus, because Juventus don't particularly play with this, you know, out there attacking style of play, and Andrea Pirlo's future seems uncertain there. But would you really want Mourinho now after he's been fired, I think, from his last four clubs, Real Madrid, Chelsea, Manchester United, and Spurs? You kind of know what you're going to get. Yes, he's gotten Spurs to a final, but it's ended badly. He's been fired a week before the final, not even given, you know, time to try and win that trophy, because of how toxic things became. So I just don't think that any top club right now would take a punt on him. I don't know how you guys feel, but yeah, man, I just can't imagine a team singling out Mourinho as the guy after what's gone on over the last few years.
What do you think, gents? Bayern Munich are looking for a new coach.
There's no way that's happening.
No way.
Like, yeah, I mean, I agree. I completely agree with Kurt. I don't think he's very marketable at the moment or touchable. I mean, yeah, why would you want to Mourinho? I think the next step for him, he might be taking a year or two off. You never know. But don't be surprised if there's like a big Chinese team that comes in for him or something like that, you know, and that might be the biggest payday yet, and he might call it a day. But yeah, I don't know. It just shows the strength of senior players within a team, and you can't discount that fact. And he lost the change room at Chelsea. He lost the change room at United. He's done it now at Spurs, and Spurs by no means is as big as United and Chelsea, and he still lost the change room, and it's still the senior players that have had the final say. So it is very interesting to see.
Deco, where do you see him next? Do you also think he'd have to leave Europe? Maybe Major League Soccer, who knows?
Hey, fit. Maybe he might even come to Black Lab. I strongly believe that Mourinho's ran his race. I mean, you're looking at how football evolves, tactics wise, players become faster, and all the type of stuff, because everybody wants to put in the new stuff into the game. And you look at Mourinho's system, you look at every team now for the last 4 or 5 years that he's coached, like, you actually know what's going to happen. And even with the players that have so much potential, they end up not reaching that true potential under Mourinho. And you look at the team now. You look at Tottenham. Whenever he was there, I was like, okay, cool. Now you have your Ndombele there, you have all these ball players there, and then players actually start enjoying themselves. The first thing that he does 2 weeks in is fighting somebody. So those are all methods that you want to stamp your authority whenever you get in there, so that they can feel you. We understand, Marie, but the football evolves, and I think he needs to give himself time and, you know, refresh his ideas, and because we still need this character in the football. For me, I still believe that we need such characters in football, because there's too many quiet guys in the game. We need the such character, but yet again, for me, is to see coaches that actually helps players to improve not to f*** them up, because Mourinho has tendencies of f***ing players up.
And then real quick, I mean, me and Kurt are going to be talking about this, but I'm also going to pick Sean and Teko's brains about it a little bit later. But what is the very latest on the Super League situation? I see clubs are pulling out. Is the competition dead in the water?
It seems like that the only two teams that haven't officially pulled out yet is Barcelona and Real Madrid. But of course, there isn't a competition to pull out of right now, so they don't even need to release a statement because all the other 10 teams have. Florentino Perez, he's the chairman of the Super League. He's obviously Real Madrid's president. He has come out in a new interview saying that the contract is binding and it's not that easy for these teams to pull out. But look, it got announced on Sunday and less than 48 hours later it was over. So I'm not sure he has a leg to stand on, to be honest with you. But that's the latest. I'm sure it's not over. I'm sure there will still be talks. I think that they are talking about, restructuring the Champions League. I think that's ultimately what they wanted. So yeah, man, I can't believe what's happened. It's been one of the most bizarre, bizarre few days in football that I can remember.
Yeah, the news stream coming out of this, I mean, we're going to discuss it in depth in terms of what they were wanting to do, and this new UEFA move, because I had heard about that being introduced in 2024. So, you know, we'll have a full chat about it, but man, what a week in international football. Thank you very much for joining us on the International News Desk, Mr. Kurt Buckerfield, international correspondent for Sokola Duma. Have a great day, bro.
Cheers, fellas.
Cheers, Buter.
All right. Well, sticking with some international-esque news, South Africa have their draw for the Tokyo Olympics. It ain't an easy one. We will be facing Japan, France, and Mexico in our group stages. So it's a tough one, but remember, we get to take 8 senior players along with the rest of the under-23 squad. So your Percy Dawes will be there. I believe Bongani Zungu will be there. Then you have, you know, young talent like Lyle Foster, who we're all looking out for. So it should be interesting. I mean, the fact that they've reached the competition, which is what we always say, means that they deserve to be there. So they shouldn't be looking at these teams like, oh, you know, we can't compete. But what do you guys make of that draw? I mean, you know, it's an interesting one, particularly France, I think, is the toughest fixture there. But I think the better the competition, the better the boys will develop into, you know what I mean? So what was your reaction to that draw?
I think we f***ed, Slew. I think we f***ed. We're not going to go anywhere. No, yeah, man, I mean, it's, there's two ways of looking at it. There's two ways of, you can look at it in the way of, oh man, geez, this is going to be so tough, or it's like, this is amazing. We get to play probably some of the hardest teams straight off the bat. And, yeah, France for sure is going to be a toughie, but don't discount like Japan and Mexico. We know these countries have such a massive development structures in place, especially Japan these days. It's unbelievable. But yeah, 8 senior players to go with. It'll be a test for sure. And it'll be cool. It'll be exciting. It'll be good for these youngsters and to play against some of the best players in the world, because it'll be interesting to see what other teams, what other senior players the other teams bring as well. That'll be cool and interesting. But, yeah, it's going to be tough. We know the shambles that SAF is in at the moment, and I'm not too sure how much is going to change before that. But, yeah, it's going to be tough, and looking forward to watching the games.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Weren't France and Mexico in our 2010 FIFA World Cup group?
France and Mexico? You are right.
Yeah.
Mexico was. Was France?
Yeah, I believe France was, because we beat France 2-1, but the calculators were out and we didn't have enough goals. Yeah. But yeah, France and Mexico, so we're meeting them again. Japan, I feel like we faced, you know, in previous competitions. I don't know if it was at the World Cup, but Teko, what do you make of it? Ex-Bafana star yourself.
Look, Slu, I think it's a big mountain to climb. First of all, we're speaking of the senior players. Those are the senior players that need to come in and take these opportunities for the youngsters. But yet again, you don't have enough time to make them gel, to make them play as a team and make them understand each other. And on the other hand as well, we don't have a proper development structure that will actually help us in these such situations. We do have the under-23s, the under-20s, but most of them, they're not playing in top flight football. And those who are playing in top flight football, they're not as many. So we're in a chance. We do have a chance of an underdog, probably maybe surprising the rest. But for the fact that our development structure is not proper yet, there's no way that we can excel in such tournament, because we will forever rely on your Pesitao that have been there. Let's say Pesitao, then the team decide not to release him. Celtic decide not to, or Rangers decide not to let go of Bongani Zungu. What then? We need to be having a good youngsters, a good squad, and then whenever we bring in those senior players, it's just an addition. But right now we're speaking as if those senior players are the core of the team, and then we're going to add on with the youngsters where it's supposed to be vice versa.
It should be very, very interesting. I mean, I wonder about how the senior players will balance with the youngsters, because the youngsters kind of, you know, for the most part, got to the tournament on their own merit. So, you know, how does it allow Foster balance with Pesitao in a team when they both play as attackers? How is that midfield going to be set up when you have your Motobi Mvalas there and so on and so forth? So we'll keep an eye on that one. Obviously, we also, you know, the whole tournament is still a bit of a headache. The Olympics, being happening in a COVID era. So we'll have to pay attention to how things go. As you've mentioned, Deco, clubs releasing players is still a bit iffy. But we move from there into this week in football history.
Today we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from this week in football history.
This week, back in 1937, Scotland hosted England at Glasgow's Hampden Park for the last match of the 1937 British Home Championship. The official attendance of that match was 149,415, which set a world record at the time and remains a record for European competitions as well. This week back in 1904, Manchester City won their first major trophy, beating Bolton in the FA Cup final. And this week, we have wished happy birthday on local shores to Swallows FC head coach Brendan Truta, also Bloom Celtic forward Menzi Masuku. We have also wished a happy birthday to Cape Town City chairman Don Comitis, Banyana Banyana captain Janine van Wyk, and Sundowns midfielder Tiani Mabunda. Happy birthday to all of those people. And from there, let's move into a PSL preview. If you get the paper this week, they also preview these two games, but mainly the Sundowns Chiefs one, which we'll get to. But first, let's get your predictions for, well, it is a Soweto derby, but it's Swallows versus Pirates this weekend. Both still in the hunt for European competition for a CAF spot. What do you guys make of it? I mean, both of them have had shaky form, so to speak, recently. But it's one of those must wins for both of them. Who are you guys favoring in this match?
Yeah, this is a massive game in terms of South African football, in terms of it being a big derby. I'm leaning towards a 2-1 victory for Pirates.
2-1 victory for Pirates. Deco, who do you have?
I'm going for Pirates, mainly because I think they saw what happened yesterday with the draw with Sundowns versus AmaZulu. I think they think that it's important for them to keep collecting those points, because if I was in Pirates' shoes, I'll actually tell them that, guys, anything can happen. They can drop points like this until the season ends. We need to collect points. And I think playing Swallows is going to be tricky, but like Sean said, I think it's a victory for all of us.
And then the big match this weekend, two different sides. I mean, Sundowns, you know, they lost in the cup, they drew in the league, but, you know, Kaizer Chiefs have been struggling in their own right, in the league in particular. They're without a win in three matches now. You know, it's going to be a tough one. It's also at Loftus-Versfeld, so it's away from home for Chiefs. But it comes at a time when Chiefs are desperate for points for that top eight finish. Sundowns want to see out the season unbeaten. So who do you guys have for this one? Do you have a stunning Chiefs victory, a comfortable Sundowns win? who you're backing.
Another massive game, and with these games in the past, we've always been entertained. I think Chiefs might see some light at the end of the tunnel here in terms of Sundowns' past two results. And Sundowns will feel the same in terms of Chiefs' past couple of results. But I'm going for an exciting 2-2 draw.
Exciting 2-2 draw. Deco, who are you backing?
I'm going for Sundowns.
Yeah.
Reasons are, look, Sundowns love playing Chiefs and Orlando Pirates anytime, any day. If at Sundowns they feel like they're tired, they feel anxious, they feel all some type of feelings that they're not supposed to, these are the type of features that they need to bring them back again. And I think they'll do that against Kaizer Chiefs. Yet they played yesterday, at least now they have a couple of days to rejuvenate and come back and go at it and take the game to Kaizer Chiefs. But yet again, Kaizer Chiefs, they have deficiencies in terms of attack. Defense, because they do have a great attack with Manyama, Nukovic and Kama, but defensively, which means it's going to force Kama, Manyama to be working more defensively. So it's going to be a very interesting game, but for me, I still see Sundowns winning this game.
Sundowns victory in the match. Do you have a scoreline in mind?
Yeah, 3-1.
3-1. Should be an interesting one. I wonder how that Chiefs defense is going to handle, is Peter Shalulile any day? Temba's one is, had a good season, not as consistent as last season, but it's still on his day. It's tough to stop that Sundowns attack. So from there, let's have some. I want Deco and Sean's thoughts on the biggest topic in world football this week. So much so it boiled over into just standard news. We had club legends coming out bashing their clubs for joining this European Super League. Which, you know, there'd been rumors and this idea had been floated in previous years, but never had we seen a competition be announced and so many clubs come out saying that they're joining a competition. They didn't really consult their fans. They didn't, there was no public discourse about this until this week when the story, came to light, where it would be Europe's most valuable clubs coming together for one competition where they're always guaranteed huge numbers in their TV rights, but it would be a competition that they can't be relegated from. They would always qualify for it just on club value alone, kind of taking away the competition aspect of football, really, you know. I particularly think about my club, Arsenal, and how we don't deserve to be there, and Spurs. And it's okay to admit that, but to act like we have a seat at that table, or anybody just on club value alone has a seat at that table. I'd love to have your thoughts, Sean. You also support a team, Manchester City, who were a part of it. What did you make of the news?
Oh, absolutely disgusted. It is just the most disrespectful thing to every fan around the world when you hear news like this. It is just absolute greed, and that's all it is greed, greed, greed. It's just about the money. It's just about the money. I think, so to put it in context, if you qualify for the Champions League, you get £50 million. And if you're involved in this, you would stand to get £250 million. So that's all from the broadcasting rights. So it's just absolute greed. And you look at some of the clubs that are involved, like your Juventus, your Real, your Barcelona, all these clubs are bankrupt. So these are the clubs that are pushing for it. And so you've got to think, why would someone like Man City, why would someone like Chelsea, why would someone like whatever go even look down this road when they're not bankrupt? Some of the richest clubs in the world. And it's just down to greed. And it's, and the worst part of it is that some of these guys that own these Premier League teams aren't even English.
They're American.
Yeah, and I'm going to be very surprised if they survive this as well. I think there's going to be a massive backlash. You've seen Woodward has resigned as chair of Man United. You've seen the same from Juventus. I think he has not taken into account and how powerful the support system is of these teams and what it means to families around there. And what do you do as a fan now? Like, thank God there's no seats available at the stadium, because I promise you the next games would have been empty, completely empty. And I don't know as a fan what to think anymore. and I'm not a diehard fan like some of these guys are, but as a diehard fan, I don't know what to think and how to overcome this. What are the clubs going to say? What are these American owners, what are the Glazers going to say now to the Man United fans? Oh, sorry. You know, what? I don't understand. It is disgusting and it's greed. And, you know, you've seen Jordan Henderson speak out. You've seen Gary Neville speak out. And it's great to see the players standing up for themselves. And it's just, it's absolutely disgusting. Yeah, I'm shocked.
Deco, your thoughts? I mean, this is one of the most insane news stories or news weeks I've seen in recent history, just because of the backlash from support. You know, I know support Barcelona as well, and we've seen them have their meltdown over the course of the past few years. So it's clearly, we all can see with our eyes, this is a money-making scheme. So what was your initial reaction, and what are your thoughts on how quickly it's all collapsed?
Look, I think the way they went about it in terms of how they announced it, and I think the biggest thing about the backlash is it's clearly visible that it's money based, and I think the fans as well, they're still missing the game. They want to go back into the stadium, and now you're telling them that they actually, you know, it's not going to be a fair play. It's not going to be level grounded. You know, certain teams are going to be having the privilege. So we're not going to have football stories, you know, where there's emotion involved, underdogs wins, and all the competition behind the sports been taken to us. And then the fans obviously will react to it. But if you look into the business side of things, there's a reason why all these clubs signed. There's a bigger reason why this all snapped. Yes, now they're reacting because of the fans are saying something else. But the situation that they were facing before the sign, this contract is still there. So I strongly believe that they'll be structured and come back again. Because yet again, they withdraw from that, but they haven't actually terminated the contract that they have with the Super League. So I think there's more to the story than it meets the eye. But yet again, look at all the teams that have designed. And look at the fans, the way they reacted. If now, the problem probably going to be, guys, how do we... Okay, let's sit down with FIFA. Let's sit down with UEFA, and let's find a solution. Because if we don't find a solution, we're still willing to go on our own way. And then that's going to boil down to the teams. As to teams, how do you educate your fans? How do you be open and honest with your fans in terms of speaking of the finances? I mean, it's not Barcelona alone that's struggling with the finances. You know, all the teams are struggling with the finances now. Now you're looking at Messi. We can't pay Messi that much. We can't pay Ronaldo that much. Worst thing is you can't even sign players anymore. You can't. Now all you want to do now is you want to release players. And then once you release players now, they don't have teams because people can't afford anymore. So I think there's bigger reasons today. It's just that the way they went about it, the way they structured it, was wrong. So they need to restructure it. Yes, we want people to evolve. We want things to change. We want people to improve. We want players to earn more. More TV rights, but it needs to be level. You know, people need to have the same competition, have, you know, qualify the same way. Probably maybe better, but I strongly believe that before Champions League, there was something. And when Champions League came through, people got hurt. That, yeah, you're taking our business, now we're not going to make money, blah, blah, blah. Champions League, it is what it is today. So I'm thinking Super League is coming here because people are getting hurt. People are feeling that it's not going to be fair. But if this doesn't succeed, something else will. And they might not call it Super League, but I promise you something else will, because these teams, they've lost so much money. They need to regain that money, because at the end of the day, it's all business.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it is business, but we always want it to be a fair race. And you know what else you can race in? Is the car of the week. So what do we have?
Damn. Steve, do you make these up before the podcast or as we go on?
No. I have to like try and link it. Like I have to try and find a way. I put myself on the spot. That's why sometimes they're f***ing trash.
Shocking. Most of the time, not sometimes. Anyway. This week, car of the week is by Luc Fleurs. You might have seen it on the Soccer Laduma website. He drives the new Polo GTI. As mentioned, many footballers in South Africa can be seen rolling up to their clubs or training grounds in rides such as VW Polos and Golf GTIs. With cars from the German brand known for their comfort and economical value, this makes it an attractive option for ballers, whether it be a startup ride or even family vehicles. Not only is the Polo a popular choice among ballers in the PSL, but it's also one of the best-selling vehicles in the country, Regarding the Polo GTI range, the vehicle is priced at around 450,000 Rand onward, according to the McCarthy official website.
Very, very nice. And, you know, it's been a bit of an emotional roller coaster of a week. I think all football fans need to find a reason to keep their head up. What better way to do that than with the motivational quote of the week, which you have for us?
Yeah, so Sompo Kekana, after the AmaZulu game, put up a picture of himself and Benny McCarthy. He says, "When a footballer meets a legend, wisdom is being shared."
Love that one. Love that one. Deep. That's kind of like how this show is, you know what I'm saying? When a footballer, Sean Roberts, meets a legend in Tekmo Modise. Now you're both legends in my book. But thank you very much for tuning into the show. That was episode number 70 of The Car Wash. Whether you were listening to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or my Gang 96.7 FM's Game Time, thank you very much for joining the show. I have been your host, Slu Paho. That has been Mr. Sean Roberts.
Thank you, Slu.
And that has been Mr. Tekmo Modise.
And
we will see you all same place, same time next week. Peace.
Peace.
Today is a great day for car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.